Hi, my name is Habib Ahmed, and you're listening to the Buckcord Podcast. Each episode, I discuss different topics with different guests from all over the world, and we all have one thing in common, Pakistan. Today, we speak to somebody who is actually not from Pakistan. She's not of Pakistani descent either. Yet, she has built an affection for the country. Our guest is Dana Wong. Dana is a travel enthusiast, photographer, and a self-described food addict from Australia. She also studied law and recently graduated and got her first full-time job in Sydney.
Yeah, I just graduated in December last year, so I only just began working in February this year. But I was only working in the office like one month, and then like 1 month in, everyone just had to start working from home. So I've been working at from home like since March. I work at an international law firm. I studied law and commerce. It's like quite different to like what people think I do.
Yeah.
Because little people think that I travel full time.
Yeah, because it looks like it from your Instagram. You travel so much that it seems like you do it full time. I think it's even more interesting when people have full time jobs and then they still manage to travel.
Yeah, it's really hard to travel full time because I don't think it's that stable. Like for like a lot of people who are traveling full time now, you know, they can't really stay in one place.
Yeah.
They have to like, you know, stay at a hotel.
Yeah. To follow Dana on Instagram and YouTube, just find the links on our episode description. She's visited Pakistan twice. A lot of her posts and stories on Instagram are related to her experiences in Pakistan. Today, we get to know Dana a little bit more as a person. We ask her questions like, how did she get into traveling? What led her to Pakistan? What was her favorite city in Pakistan and her favorite food? Does she prefer tea or coffee? How much Urdu has she picked up so far? And how does she budget for her travels? So we'll start off the discussion by talking to Dana about Australia.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Australia. So my family is originally from China, but then they moved to Australia like back in 1980. So I've been living in Australia. So I was born in Australia.
That's cool. Okay, you live around the Sydney area?
I do, yeah. Have you been to Sydney before?
I've never been to Australia at all, but I've always wanted to go. You know what really intrigues me about Australia is I love how it's so interesting about Australia, but I love how like the majority of people live near the coasts, and in the middle you have this Australian outback, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like a lot of people don't live there, but it's so interesting because I actually, whenever I get to Australia, I want to explore the outback and possibly do a road trip from Sydney to Perth. I feel like that'd be so interesting. Wow. Have you done something like that yet?
No, you know, a lot of locals, they don't like to explore their own country. Like,
yeah.
They like to travel to the city areas, but then a lot of tourists who come here, they would travel to the outback just to see things.
Yeah.
I think that like you might like it, but then like it's just there's just nothing there. So I guess it's just like a desert.
It's basically a desert, right?
Just like nothing there. There might be like reptiles. Like some of like the have you heard like there's like some of like the world's deadliest reptiles are located in Australia. You can't find them in the coast, but you'll find them in a lot of like the dry areas in the middle of Australia. So like some of the world's most dangerous snakes.
Yeah, right.
Animals, spiders. So I guess like a lot of people are also like paranoid about that.
That's
so they
true.
Don't really venture into the middle of Australia. You won't find much of that in the coast, but you'll start to find more of that like towards the countryside areas.
Yeah, that's interesting. So at this point, I asked Dana, how did she decide to visit Pakistan?
Right, so I traveled to Pakistan in 2018 and 2019. So beginning of last year and towards the end of 2018. And the main reason why I wanted to go there is before I went to Nepal, I never been to like any places with like a lot of culture because I just went to USA and I feel like USA was like quite, I didn't really get like any kind of culture shock. It felt like it was pretty much the same as Australia. But when I went to Nepal, I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's like totally different to like what like I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, I want to explore more places like Nepal where you kind of get like a different feel of culture where it's like really obvious that like the culture is completely different. And then I think I was just trying to look for places to go to. And then I was deciding between Iran, Bangladesh and Pakistan. I think those places have a lot of culture, and I was like really interested in visiting one of them. So then I was tossing between Iran, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. I decided not to go to Iran because I feel like Iran, it has mostly architecture and but it doesn't have that much nature. And then for Bangladesh, I don't think I went because it wasn't a good season to go. It was like the monsoon season, so there was too much rain and it was not a really great time to go. So I ended up going to Pakistan, and I started seeing a lot of photographs of Pakistan. I was like, oh wow, like that's really cool. I didn't know like they had like mountains, and I didn't know they had lakes. And so I thought that it would be ideal place to go to because it's like nature, architecture, and there's also food and culture. So I think that's why I ended up going to Pakistan, because it had like a mix of everything.
I see. And then how often have you been there?
I've been there twice. So I went towards the end of 2018, and then I came back to Australia to work a bit. And then I went back in the beginning of 2019, like January, February kind of time. So I went around like autumn, winter period.
I see. That was about a year ago then, the last time you went.
It is, yeah. I've been quite keen to go back, but then just haven't really found the time. I was going to go last year, but then last year was like my last uni year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like during the last year of your university, like everyone is looking for jobs. And then so it wasn't really on my mind to travel when I had to like look for a job after I graduate. Yeah. So I was like kept quite busy last year. And then I was quite keen to go this year, but then with the pandemic, it's quite hard to tell like when you can travel. And also like, I don't know, like if I have enough leave to travel.
Yeah. Did you have good company there? Or you'd basically travel there by yourself, but did you have company there?
Yep. So I did travel there by myself, but then I had some local friends. So I would travel together with them, but then there were some places I just traveled by myself.
Completely by yourself. Yeah.
So it was like a mix. It was like a mix of either meet myself or with locals, and sometimes I'll just like bump into locals. So I remember like in Hyderabad, I was just by myself, and then I think I was a bit lost. This local noticed I was lost, and they invited me to the house. So sometimes like I was planning to travel by myself, but then I happened to bump into this local, and then the local would invite me to their house, and then they would accompany me to travel.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
How did you make these friends over there, the local friends in general? Like, did you know them from before, or did you just kind of find them on the internet, or did you just bump into most of them?
Yeah, so it was like a mix. So I had like a couple of people I just bumped into. Like, one of them, I bumped into them, like, we were riding the same rickshaw. And then they were showing me like around their city, and they invited me to like their home. And then same for the other one. I think for the other one, they noticed that I was like, I looked a bit confused. So then they came to me.
Help you out.
To help me out. And then they had like a friend who was like living in Karachi. So they introduced me to their friend. So it kind of just like happened spontaneously. And then some other friends, some other locals, mm-hmm. they would reach out to me on via direct message on Instagram. And they'll ask me like, so I would have like photographer friends in Hunza who would reach out to me like, oh, you're in Hunza, like, would you like to visit like my home? And same with like someone from Skardu as well. Hmm. So it was like kind of like
very spontaneous,
like a mix of like spontaneous or like people who message you and telling you like you're in the area and if you would like them to show you around.
Wow, that's really cool. So it seems like you were pretty busy there when you were there. It's not like you actually had a lot of time just sitting around.
Yeah.
And that's why the month and a half passed by so quickly.
Yeah, it passed by so quickly. And I think it was really crazy because I didn't have that much time because I knew that I had to come back to Australia like by a specific day. So I tried to travel as much as I could within that period of time that I had. So I had to plan out every day to make sure that as long as I explored everything that I wanted to, then I move on to the next city. So I wouldn't say I haven't stayed in the city for longer than 5 days.
Was most of the time you were spending outside of the cities, like northern Pakistan?
Yeah. So the thing is, like, I didn't go at a good time. I went like around November, December, and that's like during winter time. So a lot of the roads, they're blocked by snow.
Oh.
And also like a lot of the greenery, they're covered by, they're all covered by snow. So a lot of trees, they've lost their leaves, so you won't see that much greenery.
Yeah.
And you'll just see like a lot of things covered by snow, or like things aren't that green. The lakes are not, actually the lake is pretty blue, but like they're frozen.
Mm.
Or things are pretty hard to access.
Yeah.
So I didn't spend that long there. So I spent like a mix of time, like between like the north and like the south.
Right. So since Dana's had the opportunity to visit Pakistan twice and come back, I asked her, what was her general impression of the country?
Yeah, I really liked it. I feel like it was a really good country that pretty much ticked all of my boxes. So it had like nature, it had also architecture, culture, food. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I really liked about it. And it was very unique compared to other countries like Europe, USA. Like you typically see people go there, and I've never really heard of any like of my friends go to Pakistan, so I really wanted to just go to experience it myself,
something different.
Yeah, so I found it to be really different. It's more of like an adventurous travel. I quite like that, and things would happen spontaneously, like how I would just like randomly bump into locals and be visiting their house. And I found that was a really unique experience that you can't really find by traveling to Europe or USA.
Yeah. I saw a few of your YouTube videos of vlogging in Pakistan, and I noticed you were trying different types of food. I forgot which city you were in. I think it was Karachi.
Oh, yeah.
And you were just kind of trying out different types of food and taking a video of yourself eating and buying from different shops. So that was pretty interesting. And I wasn't aware that you were completely alone at that time. I thought somebody was with you, but it seems like maybe that was one of your trips in which you were kind of just traveling by yourself.
Yeah, probably. I think in Karachi, it was like a mix as well. So the vlog that you saw, I didn't meet Bilal that day, but I met Bilal like the next day after that.
So on that
day, I was exploring mostly by myself.
Hmm. And then Bilal showed you around and stuff.
The next day, yeah.
A little fun fact here. Dana is also a friend of another guest that we had on the podcast a while ago, Bilal Hassan from Karachi, episode number 10. Bilal is a doctor and also a travel enthusiast, and he takes time to show people around, especially in his home city of Karachi. Dana was actually one of the people that he showed around the city. We had a fantastic discussion with Bilal, actually. So if you haven't checked out episode number 10 already, I strongly recommend you do after this one. He's a great guy. How did you get around by yourself? Were you using Uber or Kareem or rickshaws?
Yeah, so depends where you are. Like if you're in northern Pakistan, there's no rickshaws, like, you know, in Hunza or Gilgit.
Yeah.
So you have to get around by a jeep, mostly.
Mm.
And then in the city areas, in Punjab, you can get around with rickshaw, or you can get around with Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends where you are.
Yeah, because that's, I think, a lot of people, oftentimes they're more comfortable traveling to European countries or America. It's easy to get around, and they know they'll be comfortable with speaking the same language that they normally know, right?
Yeah.
But going to countries like Pakistan, oftentimes people get intimidated, I think, by the language barrier and the confusion around getting around. Like, how would I get to from A to B?
Yeah.
Were you ever afraid or nervous about traveling to Nepal or Pakistan because of that?
No, I think like for me, I think that's the reason why I wanted to go, because of people spoke different languages, because of the different cultures. And I liked how it was really different and out of my comfort zone. Mm. So I actually enjoyed that. I actually liked that that's aspect.
Cool. Yeah. So you went to Karachi. Did you go to Lahore or Islamabad at all?
Yeah. I went to Karachi and I went to Lahore, Islamabad.
Was there a certain city that you liked most out of those?
Out of those, I also went to Peshawar, and I think I like Peshawar the best out of all of them. I would say like Lahore or Peshawar. I really like the culture and the architecture.
Hmm.
But for Peshawar, I really like the culture. It was really different to like Karachi.
The rest of Pakistan, yeah.
And Lahore. Right. Yeah, I thought it was like, I guess like because Peshawar is in KPK, so people speak Pashto. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool. And then like the way people dress was a bit different, just like different food. Like you would find like more of like the KPK food compared to like other areas of Pakistan. So yeah, I think I like Peshawar the most, and then I would say Lahore, and then Karachi was really interesting for me because it was just like so big, and then just like so much food. And then I would say Islamabad, because I found that like I didn't really get like much of a like, culture shock when I arrived in Islamabad, because it looks so modern. It looks just like I didn't really expect Pakistan to look like Islamabad. It's not like a true representation, because it looks just like a Western country.
So you were looking for something more exotic.
Like I traveled for something out of my comfort zone. Right.
It's so funny too, because when I went back to Pakistan, I found myself most comfortable in Islamabad. I was like, wow, this is, if I had to go back and live in Pakistan, I would definitely stay in Islamabad. For me, it was like the same reasoning as you, but kind of opposite conclusion, just because you're looking for something more exotic and something different and cultural. And I was looking for something that feels more similar to my my surroundings over here.
Yeah, I think like if I were to live there, I would live in Islamabad, because it just feels like more like, how do I explain? I guess like similar reason for you is like more in my comfort zone and it's really clean. But in terms of traveling, I would like to travel somewhere like more adventurous.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you pick up any Urdu while you were in Pakistan? Yeah. I know you used some Urdu words just going around and stuff, but did you use certain apps or something to prepare yourself for the trip?
Right. So for the trip, I didn't prepare any Urdu actually. I think I started like learning Urdu in October last year, but then I kind of gave up like after a few days, just because of how busy I was with like graduation applications and those kind of things. And then I started recently this year, and then I realized how much overtime I was working, so I wasn't able to dedicate much time to learning. So it's been kind of like on and off these days. Like some days I would like some days I would learn, but then I like when you don't practice, then you kind of like lose it. So I'm still trying to like find a routine for it. Back when I was in Pakistan, I just learned like really basic words like Assalamualaikum, Aap Kaisi Hai. But now I'm trying to like learn more, but I'm just trying to like develop a routine for it.
Yeah, I hear you. Is it because like you're planning to go back more often to Pakistan? Basically, you're very invested in Urdu now.
I guess like because since I started, I don't really want to like, you know, give up. So I guess I just want to finish it. And also because it's just a really useful language. You know how like Urdu is interchangeable with Hindi. So if you were to like learn Urdu, you kind of like, if you were to go to India, then you can communicate in Hindi as well. True. So it's, and like so much of the population like speaks Urdu and Hindi, and also like watch more film, like Bollywood films. And I guess like you can understand more memes as well.
Yeah, very true. You're right. Yeah. So about 1 billion people speak Urdu or Hindi. So it is a very widely spoken language. You said your parents are from China, right? Have you traveled to China at all? Or do you speak any Chinese?
Yeah, so I go like every like few years to China. So my Chinese is not that good. And because I'm born and raised in Australia, I don't know if your situation is the same, but like because I'm born and raised in Australia, I can't like read or write in Chinese, but then I can speak it.
Exactly. It's the same. Yeah. I don't read or write in Urdu.
Yeah.
I read a little bit of Urdu, but I could not write it to save my life, but I can speak it. Yeah.
So I can't read or write Chinese, but I can speak it. And I would go back every few years or so.
Did you pick up any favorite foods? Do you like spicy stuff?
Right. I actually really like spicy food. I guess like coming from like an Asian culture, like I don't eat spicy food every day, but I like spicy food. I find that spicy food like adds more flavor to the food and it makes you like eat a bit more. So yeah, I can tolerate the spice. And I didn't find anything that I had in Pakistan that was particularly spicy that I couldn't eat it. So, but I have had spicy food and it tasted really good. And I was able to finish all of it. In terms of my favorite food, it's quite hard to choose. Like, it's quite hard to like pick because it's just like so many and they're all like different in their own way. In terms of like my favorite savory food, so like not desserts, I would have to say like pulao. I really like the pulao from KPK.
Nice.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I like biryani as well. But I find that some biryani, they have too much seasoning.
Yeah.
So it's really, really strong. But I really like the pulao and the biryani. That was really good. And it was really filling as well. And the other thing that I really like was saji, the chicken dish.
Oh, yeah.
That was really nice. The chicken was really juicy and it had a lot of flavor. And I also like the kebabs. The kebabs were really good.
Yeah.
So that's in terms of savory food, but there's just so many different kinds of savory food that I haven't tried before and I really like. I've actually had biryani in Australia before, but I had it from like a takeaway Indian store. So when I tried the biryani in Pakistan, I was like, oh wow, so it tastes so different to like the one that I had at takeaway.
Yeah, it's going to be more authentic, I think. Right. I think it's always more authentic when you try the food in its own country.
Yeah.
I saw your TikTok, by the way, about all the trash foods and good foods. That was really funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Chicken karai is also pretty cool. I quite like chicken karai as well.
Right.
And in terms of desserts, it's like this ice cream.
Right.
Never had that flavor before. So that was really interesting to me. And then Lassi?
Yeah.
I guess it's not really a dessert, but I thought that was pretty tasty.
It is sweet. They do put a lot of sugar in it, so it comes out really... Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's refreshing, right? After eating a lot of spicy food, lassi really helps.
Yeah. It's really nice. It's really refreshing.
Yeah.
And jalebi is really nice, but jalebi is so sticky. Like, yeah. When you eat it, it's like sticks to your teeth. But it's really nice, and I also like gulab jamun as well.
Okay, so you're a big fan of the desserts and the sweets.
Desserts and sweets, and also the savory food. They're both nice, and they're both nice in their own ways.
I think a lot of people who go to Pakistan, a lot of their highlight of their time there is often the food. Like, they really love the food when they're there.
Yeah, one time I went to this Pakistani wedding, and then with some locals that I met on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just went to the Pakistani wedding just for the food.
Oh, wow.
And they had so much food. And I think at weddings, they generally have like a lot of food there. So that was nice.
Yeah, Pakistani people in general, I think we are all very big foodies. We're very much foodies. We're fanatics of food.
Yeah.
And because of that, almost all of our events and gatherings will involve a lot of food. And we also love meat a lot. I think you'll notice that. Compared to, if you ever travel to India, parts of India, at least Pakistan, really focuses a lot on meat.
That's true.
So there'll be a lot more chicken and goat and beef and things like that. Also, you mentioned how you prefer the pulao over the biryani, right?
Yeah, Afghani pulao,
yeah. One of the things that goes on in Pakistan, just kind of as a joke, is there's this big city rivalry between Lahore and Karachi. And oftentimes that rivalry comes down to the biryani because Karachi's biryani is very spicy and very, very, it has a lot of different types of seasonings and added things in there. So it's not just rice and chicken. There's a lot. So Sindhi biryani, which is popular in Karachi, is very rich.
Yeah.
And then Lahori biryani is often very similar to pulao. So it doesn't have a lot of seasoning or spices or anything like that.
Mm.
So because of that, the people from Karachi are like, well, that's not even biryani. You guys basically have pulao. And then Lahori people are like, well, it is biryani. You can't say that. Our biryani is better. So there's like this funny back and forth arguments that always go on between these two cities.
Yeah. I've heard of this rivalry. Unfortunately, I haven't tried a Lahori biryani to compare.
Yeah.
I would like to try both to compare to see like if there's actually a difference. But I've tried the Karachi biryani.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, Sindhi biryani is very popular. I think, you know, what the spirit of biryani is biryani is supposed to be very spicy and very flavorful.
Yeah.
And whereas Lahori biryani is more like pulao,
right.
So it's just more about preference. Some people like, you know, less of that extra stuff.
Yeah. One way that I tell the difference between biryani and pulao is biryani is really vibrant in orange and yellow in color. Mm. Like the rice is yellow and orange. And then pulao is normally like this light brown color.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So next time you go, you can ask people about that. Like, I want to try Lahori biryani.
What happens if I ask someone in Karachi, I want to try some Lahori biryani?
At your own risk.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure certain places in Karachi actually do sell Lahori biryani as well. So you can try it even over there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, maybe. I think I'll give that a try.
Are you a tea person or a coffee person?
I like tea. A lot of people that drink coffee for caffeine, but I don't really feel like there's a difference. Mm. So when I drink coffee, I don't really feel like I get the energy boost. And yeah, and I find that tea is more calming as well.
That's true.
Like, you know how some people, they drink coffee and they feel like more hyper. But if you drink tea, it's more calming and relaxing.
That's true. Yeah.
And it just makes you feel more at ease.
Yeah, very true. So do you drink green tea mostly or black tea?
I drink green tea. What have I been drinking? I drink green tea and I also drink matcha, the Japanese one.
Matcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And I've also add some lemongrass to the green tea. And I also drink lavender. I sometimes like drink pure green tea, but I also sometimes drink like a green tea mix, like green tea plus jasmine tea or like green tea plus lemongrass tea.
Got it.
If you think of Asia, like most of Asia don't drink coffee anyway. Like, if you think about like
China,
they just, they're famous for like Chinese tea. Japan, they're famous for Japanese tea. So I think because Pakistan, India, they're part of Asia, that it's like, they generally would tend to go for tea instead of coffee.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And I love Chinese types of teas, by the way. I used to have a huge collection of green teas.
Oh, wow.
Chinese and Japanese origin teas.
They're really healthy.
They're very healthy, exactly.
They're really good for your health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very healthy. They're low in caffeine. So I'm kind of health conscious too. So I try to avoid caffeine. And I like those a lot.
That's nice. The Pakistani tea is really different. The chai. Mm-hmm. Have you tried the chai tea in America? There's, if you try chai tea in America, the flavor is totally different.
Yeah, of course. I think Pakistani tea tends to be more milky, right?
It's milky, but also the flavor is different. I think in America, they put cinnamon in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. And that can be optional, too. You can ask them to remove the cinnamon.
Yeah.
I think, there's different styles of making tea. Oftentimes, I think the tea in America is, the chai tea over here is more from a certain area of India, which uses all those different types of spices. Mm. So that's where that comes from. And Pakistani tea is more, is a little less in spices and more milky. In general, that's how people tend to like it. They often call it dudh patti.
Oh, wow.
So because
it's,
instead of boiling water and then putting tea inside the water, people often, they just boil milk instead and they put tea inside the milk. So there's no water.
Oh, wow.
At all. But, you know, that's a different type of tea. But it's you might have drank it most likely in Pakistan while you were there.
Yeah, I haven't had it for a long time. I was thinking of making it myself.
Yeah, yeah. Since traveling is not a full-time job for Dana, I ask her, how often does she manage to travel, especially with school and a full-time job on her plate?
I don't travel that much, actually. So because I got a full-time job now, I think that the only time that I can travel is when I take leave. And I only have like around like roughly 20 days of leave, which it's equivalent to around like 4 weeks. So I guess I only can travel like 4 weeks per year. But back during my university years, I was able to travel a bit more, but I didn't have money. And that's the problem. In university, you have time, but you don't have money. And then now you have money, but you don't have the time. So
it's so true, right?
Yeah. And then so that kind of sucks, because in university, I had like, you know, 3 month breaks. And then I wish that I could have like, you know, went somewhere that time, but I didn't have the money to go anywhere for 3 months. So wasn't able to travel that much. So I would say just like around like 1 month per year, like maximum 2 months per year, but most likely like 1 month per year.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like there's this common saying or meme that goes around a lot, which kind of talks about these three different elements that change for people: time, money, and energy. So at any given point in time, you only have two out of these three things. So when you're young, you have time and energy, but you don't have money.
Mm.
And then when you get older, right, you start getting a job, then you have money and you have energy, but you don't have any time anymore, which is where you're stuck at, and me. And then the third thing is when you finally get old and you retire, right? Then you're usually, you got time and you have money, but then you don't have energy at that point in time. So
in
your whole life, like, it's very hard to have all three things unless you're, you know, gifted in some way or lucky.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess like I'm stuck at this stage, and then so I can't really travel that as much as I would like to. Like ideally, I would like to travel for like around 4 to 5 months per year. That would be nice, but then you can't work. You can't work that much, and you won't be earning that much as well if you just take 4 to 5 months off.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
I remember when I started working, I don't know how you're feeling, but when I first started working, the first year was very difficult because in university, you still have a lot of free time to spend time with your friends or, you know, enjoy like winter breaks, summer breaks, things like that, and travel and whatever you want to do in your free time. But when you start working, then it gets harder to take time off. So my first year in my job, working an office job was so tough. I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to leave. I want to travel. You know, I wanted to budget or start a business or something like that just to get out of the corporate world. The first year was kind of tough to adjust. And I think a lot of people go through that. And then after a while, you get adjusted in.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean because I don't know about you, but then working at a law firm, I've had like so much overtime and I didn't really expect to like, you know, get that much overtime. Mm-hmm. And I've had days where I finish like around 11 p.m. Some days I finish at 12 a.m. And then I just get home, sleep, and then I would just go back to work. And I have some colleagues who finish around 3 a.m. Every day. And I'm just like, oh, how that's can people insane. Do this? They don't even have like work-life balance. So
that's really
I'm trying
bad.
To like in the future, I hope to like find a role with better work-life balance.
Yeah, that's the thing. And usually it's unfortunate, but a lot of firms and a lot of companies, they hire college kids, meaning, you know, fresh graduates.
Yeah.
The expectation that these kids will work really hard and they'll spend, you know, all their time to work because they want to build their career, right? And they usually take that to their advantage. So when these kids graduate, they put them to work really, really, and they burn them out a lot. That's actually what was kind of happening with me as well. I worked in consulting, so I wasn't working, thankfully, till 3 in the morning usually, but it was basically just any free time that I'd have in the day was for a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then driving home, driving to work. But then in between, even when I got home, I would have dinner and then I'd log back into work because there was just so much stuff to do.
Wow.
That really contributes to burning you out a little bit too. I wish companies would understand that a little better. But then thankfully, there is a silver lining, which is usually after a year or 2 years, like you can find another job and get a little bit more work-life balance back.
Yeah. I guess like that's the scary thing about like your first year in a job because they just try to work you really hard. But then, like you said, like once you have some experience, they can move firms and then to a firm like with better work-life balance. So I'm trying to do that sometime in the future. But right now, trying to just make my resume look better.
Yeah, I hear you. I know you probably chose law for a reason. You enjoy it, I'm sure. It is probably what you wanted to do as a career for a big chunk of your life at least. So it's not that you're not motivated. It's just that you still want to live a little bit of your life outside of work as well for yourself.
That's right.
And that's what companies don't often understand.
Yeah. It's a big change. I'm still trying to balance it with like, I'm still trying to like figure out how I can travel like this.
Yeah.
Like for the rest of my working life, because it seems so short, like just a few weeks of leave
per year, right? Yeah, it's very small.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking too. Like over here, at least in the US, you get about 3 weeks of time off with a professional job, right? But 3 weeks is not that great compared to how much time off you get during your time in university, in college. You can't compare that to your spring breaks and your winter breaks and your summer breaks and all the time off between semesters and stuff. So
I know
what you mean. It takes a little bit of time to get adjusted to, but I think companies are getting better at work-life balance slightly over time. You know, working from home is one thing. You can take sabbaticals every now and then maybe, or just switch jobs. And when you switch jobs, you can start your following job in another, you know, 2 months or something. You can negotiate the timing with them and then take that 2 months of time off to travel. A lot of people do that.
Oh, that's a good tip, actually. I'll keep that in mind for in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I just know this because I've been working for about 8 years now since I graduated.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm 30. So, you know, I've been in the working world for a while.
Yeah. And did you switch in between, like within those 8 years?
Yeah, I switched a lot of jobs. This is my fifth job, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I basically, in the beginning, especially, I was switching jobs every year. I would get bored really fast of working in the same company, and then I would switch every year. But, you know, I'm married now, so I'm trying to be more stable. So now I'm trying to stick to one company. But initially, like when you're young, I feel like you have the energy and the time and the commitment to, you know, try different things. And that's not a bad thing.
Do you find like the every time you change jobs, is like the job that you change to like a little bit better than the previous one?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. And that's why it's so good to do something like that. Like I felt like every time I jumped jobs, not only did my pay go up, like I would always negotiate a higher salary.
Yeah.
But also like I would get better work-life balance. So almost every job that I worked at now is better than the previous one in that sense.
Wow.
Like, you know, the older you get, the more experienced you get, the more efficient you get as well, right? And the better companies treat you, I feel like. It's unfortunate, but there is a little bit of age bias in companies. Like they perceive young people to be inexperienced and...
Yeah, it's harder to negotiate when you're just fresh into the workforce.
Yeah, exactly, right. When you're new, it's harder, but after a year, you'd be fine. I think after a year, you can probably explore different options and maybe try to figure out a way on how you can fit traveling in there as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Before you started working, how did you budget for your travels at that time? How were you kind of doing it back then?
Yeah, so starting from my second year of university, in my first year, I had like zero money. Starting with my second year to my fifth year, I've always worked part-time. And then that's how I save money. Mm-hmm. But then I would spend a lot. Like just like one trip would cost a lot. I think I went to like USA and then I went to like Canada at the same time. It was really expensive because the Australian dollar is a lot lower than the US dollar. And it's a lot lower than the Canadian dollar. So, and if you want to like stay at a nice hotel, then
yeah,
you have to like spend quite a bit. So, right. So I have a problem. I guess like I don't really have a really good budget.
You just go with the flow.
Yeah, but I did like I would save a lot from my part-time jobs, and that would be like my main source of income for spending on travels.
Yeah, and what got you into traveling so much?
Sure. So on my Instagram, I used to always do food blogging, and then I've been doing food blogging since like 2015, 2016. Mm. But then around 2017, I started to feel a bit bored, and it just didn't excite me in it anymore. It didn't motivate me to like go out and take food photos. And then I saw some people who posted travel photos, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I've never done like travel photography before. And then so I started doing some travel photography in Australia. But then because Australia doesn't have like too many places that I wanted to go to, like I saw like a lot of photos of New York, and I thought that was pretty cool. And I saw a lot of photos of Canada with like lakes and mountains, and I was like, oh, that would be like much nicer to take photos of. And then so I would travel mainly for the purposes of photography. So I would go to like really photogenic places for my travels. I went to like New York and I took photos of the Empire State of Building, and then I went to LA, and I also, so that was at the beginning of my travels.
Yeah,
I also went to Nepal. I think, I don't know why I went to Nepal, but I think I was just very curious about it, and my friend recommended me, and then actually I really liked it. It was a really good opportunity for photography, and I definitely think that my photography skills improved there. So I think the reason why I travel is because I'm used to do food photography, but then I have grown out of it, and I wanted to venture in some different kind of photography, and I got into travel photography. And in order to do travel photography, you need to travel. So that's how I got into traveling.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Going forward, are you planning to vlog more? Do you plan to stick more towards photography, or do you want to expand your YouTube channel? I know that you have your whole job situation going on, but
yeah,
you know, eventually,
yeah,
what's a dream?
Yeah, I've been wanting to, but then I have like a lot of content that I haven't edited yet. So I was planning to like edit it, but then I haven't really got the motivation these days because of like work. And sometimes when you don't have motivation, you don't feel like editing. But I have a lot of like content on my camera, and I have like not necessarily like travel content, but just like random like content ideas. But then I haven't really had the time to like sit down and film it and then edit it. And then but yeah, I haven't really found the motivation these days to vlog. And I think like in terms of photography, I'm just like posting a lot of like my previous travels. I think like a lot of people, like because they can't travel, they're posting like previous photos. Ideally, I would like to do a mix of both, but just depends on like my motivation and also like the amount of time that I can commit.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I mean, as a, you know, with the podcast, for example, I have to edit. I try to allocate time for that every day or every other day. But then there's days where I don't feel motivated, and then I won't have an episode out for weeks.
Yeah.
But I try to put out an episode every other week or so.
That's really good.
What helped me at least is doing like, because if you imagine how much editing you have to do, imagine you have to do 5 hours of editing, then obviously you'll be like demotivated. Yeah. You'll be like, I don't want to do this. But what I started doing was I started doing like, okay, I want to do just 15 minutes a day. That's it.
Oh, that's good.
And then when you do 15, oftentimes that you'll extend that to 30 minutes. And then slowly after a week, it adds up. And then next thing you know, you're done. So you just have to like do it, you know, a little bit per day at a time. Because obviously nobody has like hours and hours to do in one day. You have other things to do as well. So that's what helped me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was really interesting. I've never done a podcast before, yeah. But so it's really interesting because it kind of just feels like you're just talking to someone over a phone.
Exactly. That's what it is. Yeah.
You're just having like a casual conversation rather than, I guess like for filming, you have to like make sure you look okay, make sure like the lighting's okay and everything. But then for like a podcast, you don't really have to worry about the lighting, the time of the day. Yeah. So it's actually like pretty cool.
It's mostly just other things with the podcast. Think of like a radio show, right? So, but what I try to do in the podcast is, for example, you and I have been speaking for about an hour and a half now, but when I'm done with this episode editing, it will most likely be an hour, maybe a little bit less than an hour, because I'll take out certain parts, and I'll speed it up a little bit just to make it faster. And then I'll edit your voice as well. So I'll remove like a lot of the pauses and the, you know, the, like those types of things.
Cool.
So I make you sound as best
That's
as possible.
Good.
Yeah. So that obviously that takes a lot of time as well, but I enjoy it. And I think the end product comes out so nice. And then the feedback is really nice too. I'll get emails, you know, DMs, and that keeps me motivated and encouraged, you know, to keep going.
That's really nice. I think like for me, like the problem is that I don't have like enough time.
Yeah.
And then
it's a time.
Yeah, and then like by the time like I finish work and then I just want to like relax.
I know what you mean.
Instead of like making more content.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to get my motivation back.
Yeah, I understand. And it's hard for me too, by the way, because now I got married about 2 years ago. And then after that, my time got even more difficult to manage, right? Because now I have to work and spend time with my wife.
Mm.
And then in between, somehow I have to make time for the podcast too. So, you know, but basically I just became more disciplined and basically, no, I don't force myself to do things when I don't want to. So there will be sometimes, several days or several weeks where, you know, I don't want to do much. So then, you know, I just pace myself a little bit because I don't want the podcast to feel like a job. Like it's a hobby, right? And similar for you, you don't want it to feel like a job.
Yeah. No, what you mean?
You know, like you just pace yourself a little bit just for putting content out so that your, you know, people who follow you can continue to see you. Like, oh, where's Dana now? Or what is she up to? They're like that kind of stuff. But obviously, they wouldn't want you to do that at the expense of your health and your own satisfaction. So
yeah, that's true.
If you like Popcord and enjoy this episode with our wonderful guest, Dana, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends. As mentioned earlier, you can follow Dana by finding the links in our episode description. And while you do that, leave some feedback on our Instagram or our website for this episode. And finally, as always, feel free to email us at hello@popcord.com or DM us anywhere on Instagram or Facebook for any comments, suggestions, or questions. We're always open to that, and we always appreciate feedback. Have a lovely day, and we'll see you next time. Good office.
Thank you.
All right, thanks,
Have a
Dana.
Good day.
Take
Bye.
Care. Good night.